Now it's time for very serious football talk with the man who met his wife on a blind date, chaperoned by his parents.
They actually came along on the first date with us. That was a...
No!
I rode in the back seat. I was 22.
The man who needs to take a minute to remember the names of all of his children.
Do all of your kids have the same first letter?
No, actually. Let me think. Do any of them? Tucker, Mason, Cole, Isabel, and Lucas.
The man who can defend you in court, but will probably choose not to.
I'll cop to this on a public setting right now. I am an aggressive cuddler in a consensual sense.
Comma, officer.
Good grief, he's a pastor too? When does this guy sleep?
You will find Seth Kaiser everywhere except for in his or your bed, because not only does he not sleep, he's also a faithful husband. So that's important.
It's Seth Kaiser of The Athletic on Almost Entirely Sports.
It is a truly special day because not only is Seth Kaiser on with us, which is always a truly special day, he's right here!
Hi.
I can touch him. I can hit him with a pin right now.
I really hope you don't.
We'll see how this segment goes.
Yeah, well, segments. I think
segments,
it's,
sure.
I feel at this point I've earned the right to do the double segment, so
yes.
You can't throw a pen at me at
That's
that
true.
Point. When I've agreed to do something like that.
Well, also, like, it felt like a double segment was something that we had both earned and that you specifically had earned by driving here from Minnesota. Seth is in town to go check out Chiefs training camp and, most importantly, to be on this show.
That was the main appeal,
yeah.
Was to actually be live with you. And I realized while I was down here, I could also attend training camp.
Right.
And I just thought, wow, what are the chances?
The convenience of the time and everything are absolutely stupendous.
Yes, yes. The luck, it was amazing.
And so, first of all, could you please, I want to start here. I don't care if you don't want to. Can you please explain what happened at lunch today? Seth and I went and got lunch. It was wonderful. We had
a
conversation about any variety of things.
Yeah, it was fine. Honey, if you're watching this, I need you to wire me some money. Because, so I offer to buy my good friend Josh lunch, and he proceeds to look at the menu and scan it and think to himself. I could see him thinking. He started chortling. It was weird. And he's thinking, what could I possibly order at Gates, a barbecue joint, that would be at least $75? I may be, give or take, I don't remember the exact amounts. I don't like math.
It was 20-something.
Yeah, and I looked at him. It was fun, too, because it was all in fun. I didn't mind at all, but it was hilarious because right after I said, oh, you know, yeah, hey, please, 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 let me, and I insisted like a jerk, and so you were going to pay, and you let me pay, and then he's like, I think I'll have that, and for a minute, I was like, really?
We got the same thing, Seth. It's not like you got a side of coleslaw and I got a whole cow.
Well, okay, you're not wrong, but I put my blood and sweat and tears into that that $390 that I slaved over. I haven't slept in 2 years, Josh.
I know. I took food out of your kids' mouths and put it into my own mouth.
We'll feed them tomorrow.
Oh, man. That's the strategy for me also. Like the reason for me is at this point, I'm like a Gila monster. Like they just like store the fat in their tails and they don't eat for like 2 weeks.
Well,
you were my savior in this instance.
You're welcome. Well, you know, look, you're 23, mm-hmm. as we went over. Mm-hmm. I remember being 23 and my wife and I having our anniversary and like, well, what do you want to do? It's like, well, we've got like $1.50 in change. And I remember in that moment thinking, wow, your judgment is terrible. Why did you marry me? Oh, hey, speaking of my family, you mind if I do something very quickly?
Yeah, absolutely not.
I received a message from my wife, my wonderful wife, Jazz, indicating that my daughter, Isabel, says hi. And so I just wanted to, my children's names, whom I remember. Hang on. I wanted to say hi to Tucker, Mason, Cole, Isabel, and Lucas.
Hello.
Mason, Cole, Isabel. Yes.
Hi, everybody. Okay. That's all of them.
We got all five, as well as my wife. Hi, guys. You're watching me right now. And you know what? I love you all, and I miss you guys, and I'll be home soon. Josh made me come. So
I did.
I'm very sorry. The bad person that you see on the other screen, he made me.
I took money out of your college fund. I took food out of your tummy. I have kidnapped your father, and I told him he can't leave that door behind him until we rack up a good 40 minutes of conversation here. And so I do feel. Also, I gotta tell you, Seth, that sampler platter, whatever we had at Gates,
yeah,
too much food.
I don't even understand what you just said.
It's a phrase that you could look at me and you can go, "How often does Josh think he's consumed too much food?"
I
feel it.
There was a lot of food there. See, what you didn't do, I knew what I was doing. So my wife is very crunchy, right? She has like all these like.
She's what?
She's crunchy. She's like.
Time out. Your wife is crunchy.
Yeah, crunchy. Like she's into healthy stuff, like alternative health stuff.
That's not a thing.
That is absolutely a thing. Look, it's like, so it's like, you know what? Nope, I almost made a Netflix and chill joke. And so, nope.
This is a safe place. You know this.
This is, no, it's she, crunchy. Place. It's a word. So my wife is really into like alternative.
I know it's a word. It's not you can use it to describe your wife.
Well, look, you know what? Quit telling me how to live my life, Briscoe. So she's into like alternative health and gut health and everything. So I have in my possession like a bunch of like digestive enzymes and probiotics,
uh-huh.
And I popped like 9 of those before I ate.
You
so
did.
I haven't even digested a thing.
Right.
The bacteria in my stomach just went through it like a bunch of little Pac-Men.
That's awesome.
Or Pac-Women.
Sure.
Ms. Pac-Man.
Yeah, right. That's, you know what? Why is Ms. Pac-Man called Ms. Pac-Man? Why can't she just be Pac-Woman?
I don't know.
This is not a thought that's crossed my mind.
This is terrible. The level of disappointment that some people that have tuned in to hear about training camp right now are feeling. I can feel the disapproval. And that's, you know, I remember you told me once to just like kind of relish in that.
Yes,
and so I'm working on it. I'm simmering in it. But anyway, no, lunch was delicious. I had never had Gates. I personally was not thrilled with the sauce, which I hope no one's mad at me, but their ribs and the beef were incredible,
yes.
And the fries were great.
Yes.
And so now I'm going to have Joe's before everyone screams at me, you should have gone to Joe's. I'm having Joe's tonight with Cody Tapp, who I'm guessing will probably pay for his own meal at least.
Hold on, Seth. Hold on.
Yes.
Hold on. You see what this is, Seth?
Oh, look at that.
This is my paycheck, Seth. Look at it, Seth. I could have bought you a pickle if you would have wanted me to buy the pickle.
Oh, yeah. You know what?
Or
I'm sure you would have bought me a pickle.
Or we could have gone and got chicken nuggets from McDonald's and had a barbecue dipping sauce with
it. I personally love chicken McNuggets. I have a problem.
Honestly, I feel like this might be a safe place where we can admit that like McDonald's chicken nuggets are good.
Yeah, they're delicious.
Like, they're not, like, I don't want them very often. There are very specific instances in which I think I would want McDonald's chicken nugget. But those specific nuggets with the specific barbecue sauce is good.
Once, when they were doing the special, you could get 20 for X amount, mm-hmm. I ate 40 chicken McNuggets. And
wow.
I wasn't even sorry. Well, okay, I was a little sorry later. But, like, at the moment, nah, I wasn't even full. And that's the thing, because it's not food.
Right, no.
It's food product.
Yes, and it's, like, it's filler, but it's delicious, and
yeah.
It's, like, crunchy and soft and...
See, crunchy.
Like your wife, I guess. So weird. Wade said in the comments that this is... That crunchy has been used to describe organic granola eating people for ages. Maybe that's just for you, like, over 30 crowd. I don't know.
Oh, good. Yeah. Oh, wow. Okay, fine. I tell one story about lunch, and all of a sudden I'm being attacked. I can't even call this being attacked online anymore. I'm being attacked in real life.
In real life.
In IRL, I'm being attacked. What the kids say,
yeah,
right?
IRL.
IRL.
Yeah, no, you nailed it. That, yeah. You got it in one.
I'm down.
Sound extremely hip and cool. also, my dad had commented on the Facebook already and just said, hey, Seth, I take no responsibility for what's about to happen. Or maybe he's so sorry. It doesn't matter.
Yeah.
Also, your wife is watching and has now left a facepalm emoji.
Oh, no, honey, but you made a bad choice 11 years ago. I don't know what to tell you.
Are you still married right now?
I'd like to think so. It's a long... Well, that's the whole reason I went to law school, Josh. I wanted to be
your marriage.
As difficult to walk away from as humanly possible. And then that's why we had so many kids. I was like, yeah, let's make it really inconvenient to leave me.
You're right. Wow. That's next level. Man, listen, you got. I feel like most people at this point do accept that Seth is really a genius walking among us. But if you can't know that now, that he went to law school. Also, I feel like this should make your wife feel good. Also, definitely like, what is it when you've been held captive for so long that you feel like
Stockholm
syndrome?
Yes.
I feel like a little Stockholm-y, but also maybe she should feel pretty good that like you have all of these. It's like in a hotel room, in a sketchy hotel room. You've got like 7 locks on the door, and when you go in at night, you go ahead and put the hang the do not disturb on the front, and then lock all 7 of those locks. You just lock all the locks on your marriage because it's a little sketchy. Maybe no, I don't know.
Yeah, that's. I feel really really bad about myself. All of a sudden, I can't quite pinpoint why. But somewhere along the line, my self-esteem dropped to about a 3. But that's okay, because it's super accurate, and that's why it hurts.
Right, no, that's
exciting. I respect
exciting.
Your honesty, but it hurts.
Also, it's really exciting to hear that one of us in this room has a self-esteem level that scratches a 3. That must be awesome.
Well, that there's another reason to go to law school. You can eventually beat it out of you the first year, and then they build you up.
That's exciting.
Yeah.
Wow, so if I, too, can double my self-esteem, I too, could reach a 3. By going to law school. I had to go to law school to do that.
Be like Seth, reach a 3 is not the best rallying cry I've ever heard in my life. That's not. Be like Seth, we could be a 3. That's
No, it's not terribly flattering. I do understand why that might backfire. Oh. So how was the trip down from Minnesota? You said your dad came with you. That sounds like fun.
He did. My dad came with me. He's a retired pastor. You know, I'm a pastor, and so he's actually my praise and worship leader. And we just had a blast. We got a really good relationship, and we were talking about, you know, if not now, when can you do stuff like that?
Right.
And I know I was waxing eloquent last week about, you know, we had an allergy scare. It's just like, man, you just do things. And we had a blast. He's actually staying in St. Joe while I do radio stuff today and stay with some friends in Kansas City. But we had a lot of fun. And it sure is nice having someone drive with you.
Yes.
That you're comfortable taking a nap, because I usually drive down with my wife.
Mm-hmm.
And my wife is an excellent driver. And I think I've talked myself into a corner here. It's a little tough. See, you wouldn't know this.
Here's more rope. Go ahead.
It's tough to fall asleep sometime when your wife is driving, because it'll feel like just as you're about to fall asleep. Okay, here's the analogy. You know how when you're lying in bed, and sometimes, like, just for no reason whatsoever, your entire body flails?
Yes.
Because you think you're falling.
Yes.
It's like that, only it's the entire car that's flailing.
Mm-hmm.
Because your wife is like, you know, hey, what's that on the floor? You know. And then the car goes, and you know, wah, wah, wah. Now, that doesn't happen all the time, but it has happened. So it's hard to comfortably fall asleep. Whereas when it's your dad, you know, we're trained from quite young. It's like, oh, my dad's got this. He's driving. You know, and you're fine.
Right.
So
I'm going to eat a Twizzler and conk out while my dad drives,
yeah,
of course.
I ate an entire bag of peanut butter M&M's. It was amazing. So
peanut butter M&M's are fantastic.
They are. And so it was a great trip. He actually came to training camp with me. You know, we watched the players. We ogled. I hope that's the maybe that's the wrong word, at how skinny Chris Jones has gotten.
I did the same thing. I also ogled Chris Jones's body. No question.
But to be fair, people are expecting that from you at this point with the whole pictures thing that's been happening.
My brand. By the way, could you at some point stand up and face beards? I need to tweet out that picture.
We could get the rating on a 1 to 10.
We should at least recreate that. You can be Anthony Sherman.
But that is one thing I can absolutely confirm. Chris Jones is built different than he was last year. He looks, you know, I think he was saying he's down like 10 pounds or something. Maybe that was Raglan. I don't remember. Jones looks like he's lost 20 or 25 pounds. My only concern is he really made a lot of strides against double teams last year. And
right.
Holding his ground. And I just, if you look at him and you're just like, man, is he still going to be able to do that? Now, to be fair, in some of the drills I watch him participating in, he's still freakishly strong.
Yes.
And so I'm assuming being freakishly strong will make up for losing the weight. And you know what? If it makes him an even better pass rusher, hey, you know what? It's worth it, because that's way more important.
I do think it is more important, and I do think there's something, too. He said a couple days ago that he's trying to lead the league in sacks this year from a position where, like, he's not going to be able to do that. But, like, if he is going into a more sort of, like, pass rusher mentality, I don't think that's a bad thing. The Chiefs need more of that, especially from that position.
They absolutely do. I mean, pass rush was a problem they had last year. It was one of the two major problems on defense. And so my hope is that he'll be able to provide a little bit more of that. Now, obviously, they'll need some help from people around him, because Jones was good at rushing the passer last year. But if he takes another step forward, because I wrote about him, I don't know, a month ago or so, and he took a big step forward in season 2, and a lot of people missed it because the defense overall was terrible.
Yep.
But if he took yet another step forward, that would be the first in a line of a few dominoes that need to fall for the defense to go from really bad to respectable and maybe even to good.
Mm-hmm.
And if Chris Jones can take yet another step forward, that would be a huge, huge, huge boon to the defense.
Have you seen the video of Chandler Jones from a couple days ago, the Arizona Cardinals?
No.
I'm going to go ahead and just pivot the screen around to you. Not great for everybody listening or watching on Facebook, but
where he busted through the thing.
He just broke a block and sled in half.
Yeah.
And so he doesn't look like a man who is there built to eat up double teams. I think he had like 16 sacks last year or 13 sacks last year or something.
Right.
If Chris Jones is in his current physical shape and is also just made of like cinder blocks, I think we might see him just bend a couple offensive linemen over.
It would be fun to see him snap someone in half. You know?
Literally, yes. That would be actually sad. That'd be tragic.
You watched. Well, yeah, it would be tragic. It would be tragic in one of those ways that, like, we're like, whoa, oh no,
right, exactly, like, right, yes.
The long term repercussions would hit you. I think he's on his way. He's different this year.
Yeah.
In terms of, you notice he's, and this is the most ridiculous thing to say, but he's tweeting every day after practice.
Yes.
Which sounds dumb to
say. But it's
kind
of cool. I kind of like it. Go ahead. Sorry.
He's big into, it seems like he's really, really motivated. He seems like he's trying to be vocal. And I'll tell you, it's a lot of fun watching him practice because anytime he's by fans, he can't help himself.
Yes.
He has to turn and say something.
Yes.
And he's very funny. There's just a lot of joy there. It's very infectious. And I think he's going to have a really, really good season.
Yes,
I'm excited for him. And hopefully, maybe we'll see him on the edge a little bit again and that kind of stuff. That was a really fun mix that Bob Sutton threw in last year.
All right, a quick intermission, not really an actual intermission, but to say two things, one for Seth and then one for me. People love you, Seth. People are all over this Facebook stream right now.
Hey, guys.
So if you're enjoying Seth, do both of us a favor and like the video. You don't have to share it or anything, but just give it a thumbs up. Pick one of the emojis. You can be an angry one. It's
but
fine.
But you'd be cooler if you did.
It would be way cool. Also, sharing it is great. Tweeting it out, whatever. But if you like what's happening, like the video because this means I get to buy my own food tomorrow, and it means that we can show the whole world how much everybody likes having Seth on.
Oh.
So I always feel very dirty being like, hi, please like the thing that you're watching. but if you're watching it right now and you'll like the video, share it on Twitter, whatever, that is great for both of us. So issue it. Also, Seth is writing for The Athletic, and you should go be already subscribed to The Athletic at this point. If you're not, I don't know what you're waiting on. And Seth and I were talking about this earlier. There are lots of extremely good writers on The Athletic, and also Seth is there. So, like, there are a lot of reasons to be subscribed to The Athletic.
You take my money, then you abuse me. This is like some kind of weird, I don't know what I've paid for here, but I appreciate you talking about The Athletic. I've just been so impressed. My guy, Nate Taylor, has been putting out literally every day the kind of stuff, not just training camp updates, because you can get those anywhere,
mm-hmm.
but some of these in-depth stories that he's got is just stuff you can't get anywhere else. And I'd like to think, and I'm writing articles that's like upsetting a whole segment of fans,
right?
About how we should like basically abandon the run. And so if you want to be like, mad online, that's the way
place.
To go. But I've been so impressed with the coverage they provide. I'm actually like reading about other teams again. It's a lot of fun. And so, anyone who's thinking about it, there's a 7-day free trial. Give it a shot. See if you like it. I've always told people I take it. I've said this to you before,
mm-hmm.
Josh, even just talking. If someone's willing to pay to read something that I'm going to write, I take that pretty seriously.
Yeah.
And I'm going to work really hard. Like, that's why today I took a bunch of notes while I'm at camp. And then later this evening, I'm going to write something up and try to provide you with some stuff that maybe you couldn't get elsewhere. Because that's the goal. I want it to be something people are happy to pay for, like Chicken McNuggets.
Exactly.
To bring it around.
For 20 nuggets a month, you can get unlimited access to The Athletic.
That's the truth. It's like, $5 a month. Guys like you, that's, so in other words, it's like seven of the meals that I bought for you today. I mathed wrong.
God.
Funny if I had said it,
no,
not like an idiot.
Like, today I made you pay me back for 2 months of The Athletic that I had subscribed for. You're right.
2 months, 6 months, 8 months, a year.
Also, for me to pay for The Athletic, I have to live with my parents right now. So, like, you know what? I feel like we're even.
Yeah. Man, I'll tell you what, we're a shining example to grown men. I'm taking road trips with my daddy. You're living with your parents. At least I have a wife and kids, Josh. I don't know what your excuse is.
That's true. I don't I was going to say being like 23, but you had a wife and kids at 23, right? Like,
I did. I'm not a time waster.
No, that's true.
I'm efficient, if nothing
you
else.
You are living a densely packed life.
I am.
I don't want to call you dense, but your life is densely packed.
But you're not wrong, either
I
way.
Didn't want to say it, though, because you bought me a $97 lunch today. you mentioned this idea of the air read, which is chef kiss, beautiful.
Yes, air read.
I want you to explain your line of thinking, because I saw some of it evolve on Twitter as you were deciding that you were going to write about this.
Yeah.
Tell me about the air read, how you got there, and what you think the Chiefs might have a chance of doing this year that will make people very mad online.
Sure. So here is a fact. It is more efficient in terms of gaining yards, which is the point of being on offense, mm-hmm. is to gain yards. Well, the points to score touchdowns, which you have to gain yards to do. The point is to gain yards. It is significantly more efficient to pass the ball than to run the ball. It's not even close. For the Chiefs last year, I believe the difference was 2.5 yards. Is the difference between yards per attempt and then yards per carry. And people might say, well, what about yards lost to sacks? That's balanced out by the fact that the quarterback running, which is added to yards per carry,
right?
It boosts the yards per carry by, like, you know, because, you know, Alex Smith averaged like 6 yards per carry.
Right, sure.
As opposed to 4.5. And so the difference of 2.5 yards per carry is the equivalent of the difference between Jamal Charles and Nile Davis. That's the difference. And so when
my heart hurts. I don't know if it's the barbecue or what you just said, but I have a heart pain.
And so what happens is people are resistant to the idea, well, no, you got to run the ball. But if someone were resistant to the idea of giving the ball to Jamal Charles 80% of the time,
right,
everyone would be like, well, you'd be crazy not to.
Right.
But yet for some reason people think you need to run the ball half the time, and that's just not true. And so what I did is I took a look at some of the statistics that are out there in terms of running the ball. And no matter what you do, Football Outsiders, Ben Baldwin, who's another great athletic contributor,
mm-hmm.
I think with the Seattle group, he wrote an incredible article on Football Outsiders that proved there's no numerical proof that running the ball well or running the ball often sets up play action.
Okay, that was my first question.
It's a myth. Hmm. It's what we think, because intuitively it makes sense, but there's no correlation there in the numbers. There's no correlation between running the ball and winning. Like, people right. always say, well, that's just because people run the clock out by running the ball. And that's when running the ball becomes important, for sure.
Sure.
You know, in the fourth quarter to run the game out. But the reality is it's significantly more efficient to pass than to run. And part of that is the rule changes that we've seen now. Gone are the days where you're worried about John Lynch taking someone's head off.
Right.
Gone are the days where corners can maul guys all the way down the field. It's easier than it's ever been, and it's going to get even easier
yes.
this year. The catch rule is more in favor of receivers now.
Yes.
And they've talked about, well, we're going to be even more careful with pass interference.
Yep. Point of emphasis.
Yeah, that's awesome for certain teams.
Right.
And so here's my argument. With how much more efficient it is to pass the ball than to run the ball, some of the best offenses in the NFL, in fact, most of them last year, if you look at the numbers, virtually all of them were pass-heavy teams.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you got to be careful. If you've got a mediocre quarterback or a bad quarterback, you can't do this.
Sure.
Because that'll just expose him. But if your quarterback is even decent and your scheme is good, you're going to be more efficient passing the ball. And what I'm curious, I would love to see someone try. What if they were to, you know, with context and situation in mind, you know, first and goal at the one, you know, maybe just run the ball in.
Right.
You know, or, you know, it's the fourth quarter and you're up by 3 touchdowns, things like that.
Sure.
However, outside of that, unless you have a numerical, a personnel, or a schematic advantage, I would love to see them call a pass play. And I know there's a college coach who does this, and this is a bit of an exaggeration, but not by too much.
Mm-hmm.
It would be really cool to see a game where they called a pass play every play, and waited till they got to the line of scrimmage, and then they would have a couple kill options where if Mahomes said, well, they've only got 3 guys in the box.
Right.
So we'll, yeah, sure, I'll audible into a run. Kareem, you pick up 5 easy yards.
Yep.
And then we'll rinse and repeat. I'm not sure that would be incredibly successful. Now, again, that's a bit hyperbolic. You probably, or hyperbolic. Anyway, either way.
I think it's hyperbolic.
Yeah, I've heard it both ways.
I think you just heard yourself. This happened twice now today.
I've been doing this to you all day.
You
So you can't quite get to that point. But if the Chiefs started throwing the ball 75% of the time, mm-hmm. I wouldn't be upset. Because the reality is no team has hit the limit to where that efficiency, to where you start getting diminished returns. The closest thing we've seen to it before the recent years was the run and shoot offense with the Oilers
mm-hmm.
back in the early 90s. And the reason they lost in the playoffs is, one, they ran into a great Bills team.
Mm-hmm.
And two, their defense was terrible.
Right.
But the NFL and media, they killed the run and shoot system. Well, it must be their fault, so they scrapped it, and then they sucked for like 15 years.
Right.
And so I would just love to see that. And statistically, if you look at it, there's no reason the Chiefs wouldn't be able to make that work. Last year, they were much more efficient throwing the ball. Well, and then people say, well, what about picks? If you look at the top 5 teams throwing the ball last year, who threw the ball the most,
right.
none of them were in the top 5 in picks. There's more of a correlation between your quarterback
right.
and number of picks, not
right.
the number of times you throw the ball. If you've got right. a bad quarterback, you're going to throw a lot of picks.
Sure.
And so, and that'll balance out. Maybe you throw 2 or 3 more picks in the season. But if you're gaining an extra 2 yards per play, that more than bounces out. And I would argue to, I guess, sum up, now that I've been pontificating for what feels like an hour.
It's great.
I would argue that the Chiefs are uniquely suited to try something like this because they have Tyreek Hill, because they have Sammy Watkins, because they have Travis Kelce. And even if, you know, to a lesser extent, they've got some solid role player types like Chris Conley or DeMarcus Robinson. They've got a bunch of weapons out of the backfield. They are built to sling the ball 50 times a game and just let's see what happens. Okay, teams will compensate after a few games. Well, then you have a couple games where you're audibling to Kareem Hunt running the ball 30 times and you run all over them.
Yes.
And if nothing else, that would be fun.
It would be a blast. And I think what you just touched on there is the thing I'm seeing. And there are a couple of different comments about how, you know, you can't do nothing but you can't do nothing but pass because eventually teams will just start defending the pass. But as soon as there are four guys in the box,
yes,
Patrick Mahomes and Andy Reid aren't stupid.
Exactly.
Kareem Hunt comes back in.
Here's
the slot.
A great example for this. Everyone remembers Kareem Hunt's final carry of the year, right? 35-yard touchdown against the Broncos, Week 17, took the rushing title with it.
Yes.
Look at the formation they were in, and I wrote about this in the article here. If you look at the formation they were in, they started off that formation in a spread offense with five wide receivers. One of them was Kareem Hunt, so technically five receivers. One of them was a running back. And Mahomes stepped to the line. He looked at the defense. He looked at the personnel the Broncos had. They only had one run stopper on the field, period.
Mm-hmm.
And they were way spread out, and he motioned for Hunt to come back, and they handed the ball off. And because they had a personnel advantage, because personnel matters, not just
yes,
how many guys you have in the box.
So much.
We saw that with Daniel Sorensen and that kind of thing. The type of players you have in the box matter too.
Yes.
And so what you saw with that, he had a natural advantage, and one missed tackle later, 35 yards to the house. So I'm not saying never run the ball. I'm saying only run the ball when there's a natural advantage, and that natural advantage can be set up by passing. I'm saying pass to set up the run.
Yes.
Because the traditional wisdom of run to set up the pass, it's just not statistically evident. There's no numbers to back it up. And I have yet to have anyone who says, well, you can't do that. I say, well, why? And no one has an answer for me. And I've talked to a bunch of analysts about this, and every one of them saying the same thing. Eventually, there's going to be an NFL team that throws the ball 75% of the time.
And people have gotten on Andy Reid in years past for throwing it too often. This feels like one of those times when you can kind of put together a Madden strategy that maybe Andy Reid is, maybe you're the team we're talking about actually can pull it off.
And I think maybe he could. And the thing with Reid isn't necessarily just I learned this the hard way. It's not just the amount that he throws. With Reid, it's more a timing thing. And his biggest weakness to me, it's not that he throws too much. It's that when things start going wrong, he starts to take too much control over the offense, which hopefully you can address with Pat Mahomes.
Yes.
And so I could see it working. Again, you can't take it to its full extreme. So anyone who thinks I'm saying literally never run, that's not the case. But run when you have the schematic advantage. Because I think, because those run and shoot offenses, they ran the ball very well.
Yes. On the point about the formations and the people in the box and everything, I saw some GIFs earlier today of the Denver Broncos last year. Someone put a whole thread together times when the Broncos were running with nine guys in the box against them.
Yep.
Having that little faith in any aspect of your offense is insane to me.
Yeah.
And they had it last year. And that's one reason that I guess Case Keenum makes some sense there. We can at least throw it whenever there are nine guys in the box. But I think that's an underrated part of all this stuff that you're talking about. If eventually a defense overcompensates because they feel like you're throwing it too much, or they do it all the time, feel like they're running too much, then you've got to be able to go the other direction.
Right. And that's the exact point. It's not about only passing or only running. It's about doing the most efficient thing to move the ball. And with the Chiefs' personnel, with the Chiefs' situation, with their coach, I would argue the most efficient thing they can do is throw the ball. And they've proven that. And then when teams, you know, start to back off and switch out personnel, and they will.
Yes, of course.
That's where you let Kareem Hunt go to work against one-on-one matchups or Spencer Ware, and he will. And you'll have success. And I would love to see them try that. Plus, wouldn't it be fun? We saw Andy Reid last year be on the cutting edge of some developments in terms of incorporating college-type scheme and college-type concepts. It would be awesome to see him on the cutting edge of something again this year. That would be so much fun to watch. And, I mean, what's the worst-case scenario? You have to revert to what you normally do?
Right.
Oh, no. You know how to do that already.
Seth Kizer of The Athletic. You follow him on Twitter at RealMNChiefsFan. We'll have more with Seth coming up next year on Almost Entirely Sports.
This is Almost Entirely Sports with Joshua Briscoe.
Good chicken is worth the money. I'm glad we could talk about this.
This is really, and it's all kind of analogous to good chicken is worth the money. So is good Chiefs writing.
On 1510 AM, 94.5 FM, and the ESPN Kansas City Facebook page.
It was good barbecue earlier today for me and one Seth Kizer. But the good Chiefs writing is here now. It's Seth Kizer of The Athletic. Follow him on Twitter at RealMNChiefsFan. Let's talk about Travis Kelce for a second. You've written about him and also Tyreek Hill, the two main weapons on this offense that aren't named Sammy Watkins, that aren't reptilian solar beings.
Sure.
The two guys that we think of from last year without even getting to Watkins. You wrote about how Travis Kelce is uncoverable, what it is that makes him such a menace.
Yes.
What have you uncovered other than that he's an alien from another planet?
Travis Kelce is good at literally everything.
Right.
In terms of,
it's incredible.
I mean, I don't know what his singing voice is like. It wouldn't surprise me if it were good.
I feel like he could probably sing.
On the football field, he does everything in terms of getting open. And so that was an article I wrote, just what makes him impossible to cover. I have reviewed all kinds of receivers. I've reviewed some of Antonio Brown's snaps to get a feeling for what the very best looked like. I would put Travis Kelce right up there with Jones, with Brown, with Odell in terms of guys who can't be covered one-on-one. Doesn't matter the player. Doesn't matter who it is. When he is facing man coverage and they don't have help, he wins. It's almost, and I didn't chart. Maybe I should have. I would say he probably wins when it's man situation. He wins 75-80% of the time. It's obscene.
Yes, it's unbelievable.
And the thing is he can do everything. He's got incredible athleticism. He's got great deep speed, so he can run past corners. So they have to respect that. But he's also got exceptional quickness. He's also got incredible strength and technique against the press. And he has developed into one of the very best route runners at his position in the NFL. And so there's just, no matter what you try to do, you cannot account for it. And that was one of the most fun articles I've written all year, just because I included, I mean, I couldn't stop. It was like video clip after video clip.
Yes.
I'm like, I kept watching. I mean, what he did to Byron Jones, who was a safety last year, but is a corner this year, because he's considered, when he came into the league, he was considered like the Gronk stopper.
Right.
He was the prototype. And Kelce just abused him. And I had a clip of that. He abused him with a little route there in the end zone. You call it maybe a comeback.
Mm-hmm.
And it was just brutal, and it showed how he puts everything together. He cannot be covered. So, I mean, I think for all we hear about Watkins, for all we hear about Hill and Mahomes, yeah, I would be surprised if Kelce weren't still maybe the main centerpiece of the offense, because it wouldn't surprise me if he were still the best player on the offense, which he has been the last few years.
I think you're right on that, and I want to sort of take that opportunity to talk about what you read about Tyreek Hill as well.
Yes.
But my hunch is that you're right, that he is the best player on this offense,
mm-hmm.
and he's also the most unique player on this offense.
Mm-hmm.
Because, like, even Tyreek Hill and Sammy Watkins, I think you could say, do some of the same things well, differently, yeah. but they're more similar than anyone on the planet is to Travis Kelce, other than Gronk, who is not on the team currently.
Right, and here's what I would say. I don't think Gronk is worse than Travis Kelce. I don't know of the two of them who's better, who's worse. It depends on who you ask.
Mm-hmm.
I think Gronk, because he's a superior blocker, probably gets the edge. But they're very different players.
Sure.
I don't think there's anyone who plays the position the way Kelce does.
Agreed.
Because Gronk is, I mean, he runs great routes, but he runs different routes.
Yes.
He's not doing the same things. They're not asking him to run the same type of routes. Kelce, you see, like, in the top 100 when corners are talking about, they say he runs routes like a wide receiver.
Right.
And it's absurd to watch.
It's absurd.
He is genuinely unique in a league that's full of freaks.
Yes.
He is one of the freakiest, I guess.
Yes. I guess, and I haven't watched enough of Gronk to be able to say this completely factually, but my feeling is if there was anybody on the planet you wanted to make sure, if you needed to get 6 yards on a play and you could have one person to throw the ball to, you probably take Gronk, because I feel like that's unstoppable.
Yeah.
But with Travis Kelce, you're right. I mean, he's a threat at every level on the field,
mm-hmm.
which I don't know that anyone is, other than maybe Antonio Brown, Odell Beckham, Julio Jones type of guys, and those are all receivers.
Right, and Kelce's a guy, I mean, he's a tight end that you throw bubble screens to.
Oh, yes, you're right.
These things are absurd that he can do, and I'm excited. Every year he's gotten better.
Yep.
And I feel like he's probably reached the ceiling, But who knows? I guess we'll find out this year. I'm telling you, Air Reid, let's just run four verts every down.
Yes.
What's the worst that could happen?
Yes. 0-16.
Yeah. That is the worst that could happen.
They wouldn't go. They would not. They would not go 0-16 if they ran four verts every play.
Yeah, wouldn't it be interesting to have a year in which your quarterback threw for 78 touchdowns and 50 interceptions?
Yes.
That would be. If nothing else, it would be entertaining.
Yes. Man.
Every throw.
It's always. It would be a thrill. I love the Air Reid. All right. So what did you find out about Tyreek Hill? And I actually have a question about the defense. And also, you were at training camp today, and we haven't even talked about it. People can read everything. You're going to write up all this training camp stuff though on The Athletic.
Yeah, the plan is to write it tonight. I don't know if it'll get up tonight. I'm sorry, I'm on vacation.
Right.
I don't know what to tell you.
Right.
I'll do the very best I can though to make sure that it gets put up tonight. It's mostly just going to be observations.
Taking your vacation to go to St. Joseph, Missouri to watch the Chiefs practice and then to come do radio shows and then write about the practice you watched. That is a Seth Kaiser vacation.
I'm very bad at vacationing.
It sounds like you are.
I'm working on it. With Tyreek Hill, so I did his film review. He was one of the last guys, him and Travis Kelce, whose film review I wanted to do. Because with Kelce, or with Hill, he has kind of a similar thing happen to him, and I've talked about this in terms of with Mahomes, where you have this singular trait, and then that's all people want to talk about.
Mm-hmm.
So all people want to talk about Tyreek Hill, man, he's fast. And wow, he is. Every time you watch him, you feel the need to say all over again, wow, he's fast.
Right.
But the thing with him, if you watch him last year, he developed as a receiver.
Yeah, so much.
And that's fun to watch. Now, here's the deal. Was he a great route runner? Absolutely not. Was his route tree limited? I wouldn't say it's limited in the sense that they never asked him to run more complicated routes, but it was more rare. And the problem is when you're so good at running go routes and post routes, mm-hmm. they're going to keep sending you because it takes the top off the defense.
Of course.
He really did improve in a lot of little things in terms of footwork and in terms of some of the little nuances that you're expected to learn. And what's interesting to me is how much more comfortable he looked as a receiver mm-hmm. this last year, which was literally his first years of his life as a full-time wide receiver. And what I found is when he gets his feet right, when he does the things he's supposed to be doing, he's in that Kelce stratosphere where he just can't be covered.
Right.
And so what I wrote about, and again, that's on The Athletic too. I wrote that a few days ago. And you just, when you look at the nuance in some of his routes and you look at some of the things that he's worked on, you can see him improving. He still really needs to improve on false steps, mm-hmm. taking too many steps, but he's improved. You can see more and more snaps where he gets it right.
Right.
And it's cool to watch the way that he alters defensive game plans. He and Kelce, again, they're two of the most unique players in the league. And one thing to note with him, one thing that I do is I chart win percentage and loss percentage for receivers, which is essentially, basically what it sounds like. If you're in against man coverage, beating the coverage, or against zone, finding the open zone. It's got to be, you can't be schemed open.
Right.
What I found with Hill is that he was winning, I got 37% of his snaps. It's just worth noting that guys who are veterans like Chris Conley and Albert Wilson, they were around 25, 26%.
Hmm.
And so despite still needing to work on some of this route running stuff, he's still winning a good percentage of the time. And so his potential is virtually limitless
mm-hmm.
because, again, he had a lot of stuff to work on last year, but he was still such a tough cover when they asked him to do that traditional wide receiver stuff, and they kept asking him to do more and more, and he did well with it.
Do you feel like you have a fuller understanding of what this offense is going to look like after going deeper in on Tyreek Hill and more on Travis Kelce? Do you feel like there's a plan coming together, or do you feel like you're still waiting on Andy Reid to make those decisions for us?
I am still waiting. I don't know.
Okay.
I'm telling you, I can write about the Air Reid offense, and I don't think he'd ever do anything that wild, but it wouldn't stun me.
Did you have a percentage for how much they threw the ball last year? Did that come up somewhere, ballpark?
I'm trying to remember what it was. It was I believe it was in the mid-60s, but I couldn't tell you off the top of my head.
We can work around the low 60s. It's crazy to think that you're going to go from Alex Smith, a guy who you trust to throw the ball every time.
Yeah.
Like, you trust the ball is going to get very, very close to where it needs to be, even if it's not at the most, if it's not a firework every time.
Mm-hmm.
But the idea that you would bring in a rookie, whatever, first-year quarterback, guy with one game under his belt, and then throw the ball more sounds insane. But then you look at the way that you've charted all these things and the way that you look at all of these weapons and the air read as a concept and everything, and it totally makes sense.
It does. And that's the problem. You know, we're Chiefs fans. We're waiting for the other shoe to drop.
Right.
We're waiting for the rug to get pulled over. We're waiting for that game one where Mahomes throws six picks and looks like Brock Osweiler, and we're like,
I can't.
We become like, you know, Joe, I've made a terrible mistake. And so we're waiting on that. But all signs point to the offense being incredible.
Mm-hmm.
What I think we're going to see, I'm guessing, is a lot of what we saw last year, but more. I think we're going to see more of these, you know, in camp. They are working still. You see them working on read option and RPOs. You see them working on similar concepts, but I think you're going to see just more of it. I think you're going to see something closer to what Mahomes did at Texas Tech.
Yeah.
Which, again, that could be fun to watch.
It would be a blast. Seth, thank you so much for driving all the way from Minnesota just to hang out with us.
You know what? I'd do it again in a heartbeat as long as someone else is there to drive so I can nap.
That's good. I wanted to go back to that, actually. So I went on what's an out time, really? I went to Ohio for a wedding last weekend. And I went with three of my friends from my homeschool high school experience and girlfriend Renee, as she is colloquially known on this show. And it was amazing. 10 hours in each direction is nothing whenever you're only driving a little bit of it.
Right.
Also, I felt on a spiritual level what you were saying about not being able to nap whenever your wife is driving. None of us wanted to be driving, but we all wanted to be driving more than we wanted to let Renee be driving.
Oh,
so
sure.
She never touched the steering wheel. in a 24-hour round-trip road trip, we all just decided to take the bullet instead of all of us taking, like, the median.
Yeah, sure. No, there's certain things that are more or less bad. Oncoming traffic, more bad. You know, this is how, you know, we were at lunch and you were asking the secret that's it. My whole life has been charting more bad, less bad.
And that's even like your football charting.
You're
charting more bad and less bad snaps.
That's, when in doubt, what is it, you know, keep calm and chart something.
Just
relax.
I would probably wear that t-shirt. I would wear that Seth Kaiser branded t-shirt. All right, Seth. We will let you go do whatever it is that you needed to do. We didn't talk even for a second about training camp. I like to imagine you'll have other opportunities to do that. And also, we will all be reading your write-up on The Athletic.
Yes.
It's just worth the
money. There's lots of, and I mean, whether or not everyone enjoys it or not, I know I enjoyed taking the notes, and I'm looking at them here in front of me right now. And there's some stuff.
Give us some teases. We'll read it on The Athletic, but tell us what we're looking forward
to. I'll just tell you, one of the things that I found really interesting is the fact that Eric Berry takes very, very few reps. He actually sits back and takes mental reps and then is, like, coaching up the rest of the secondary.
Yes.
And think of the level of trust you must have from your coaches who are just like, oh, yeah, we don't care if you take reps at training camp.
Nope.
I mean, it's really cool to watch that. Also, Amerson had a pretty nice day. Now, Hill caught a deep touchdown pass on him, but Hill just made a fantastic play. Amerson was there.
Yeah,
most of the time against most receivers, that wouldn't be a catch. He actually kept up with Watkins a few times. Let me think. What's one more tidbit?
Running back three battle. You had a guy that you
Damian Williams. Keep an eye on Damian Williams. I might write more and more about him as it goes on. He consistently popped more than any other player while I was there. When someone made a play, I was like, whoa, who was that? It was Williams. He had a couple plays. I mean,
it was Damian Williams.
Yeah.
There are three Williamses out of the backfield.
Yes, Damian Williams. He really flashes as a receiver. He's got great quickness, runs great routes, and he looked pretty comfortable running the ball too, which was an improvement over what I saw from his film last year. Now, again, it's training camp. We'll see. But he looks really tough to cover, and in this offense, especially if you're running an air read,
yes,
it's all about being difficult. You know, I'm telling you, just put five receivers on the field. Let's run with four offensive linemen and do six receivers.
What's
the worst that could happen? We got to stop asking that question because a lot of bad things could happen with that.
Let's get James Winchester out there at center. Put Mahomes 15 yards back.
Is that legal?
It's just Winchester. No, it's not. I think
it should be. If it's not though,
why not?
If you technically call it a punt, isn't it? This is our quarterback / punter, Patrick Mahomes.
See, I feel like this is what's going to happen after training camp ends. We have like a little pocket between the end of training camp and actual game starting. I'm going to need the Patrick punting long snap. James Winchester,
yes.
15 back. Ooh, hold on, ready? Mm-hmm. It's the 15 back, 30 forward offense. 15-yard snap, a 30-yard pass. That's 15 yards every play, baby. You're running 9 receivers just downfield. They got the depth for that.
I love it. It can't lose. Oh, one more thing if we
Please.
Have time.
We don't, but go.
There's a lot of talk today, and I know I'm going to be talking to more than one person about this, about Patrick Mahomes threw 3 interceptions today.
Yes, yep, this is worth it. This is worth our time.
Context matters. On one of those interceptions, Patrick Mahomes drew the defense off sides and had a free play, and so he forced the ball to it. Because literally the worst thing you can do on a free play is take a snap. So there was a free rusher who was offside, so he had a guy right in his face, so he just forced the throw because he had nothing to lose.
Of course.
That's one interception. The second one, Mahomes took the entire blame for that. I'm not 100% sure that's true. He said he called the wrong play. Whether I believe that's true or not.
Sure.
It clearly was a complete and total mix-up. The third one was on the goal line. He was rolling right. He easily could have run for the touchdown, but he slowed down instead and threw it. And the reason he did that, he told the reporters after practice, said, you know, they're not allowed to tackle me. It didn't really seem sport, and it didn't seem fair. I didn't want the defense to razz me.
Sure.
And so the reality is, of those 3 picks, literally 2 of them are not something that will ever matter or happen in a game. And so everyone can just breathe. It's going to be all right. You see how I can instantly go to my taking care of an infant voice. It's going to be fine. Let's just relax now.
Save all of this. I'm going to need this after week 1 or whatever week it is that Patrick Mahomes throws 3 picks. I need that.
It's going to be all right. Everyone, stay calm. See?
This is nice. I can feel my heart rate has dropped.
Yeah. Wow, that's impressive. Well, no, that's just all the gates that you ate.
And your heart rate continues to rise because your wallet's empty now, and you've got how many more days are you in town?
I'm actually going to be leaving town tomorrow after practice. I think I'm going to start heading back to the Great White North.
And, okay.
You know, I mean, well, not right now. It's not the Great White North, but we'll probably get snowed like next week or
something. Right, sure, a week or 2 from now. Also, you can't afford another night of hotel rooms because I've eaten you out of house and home.
Well, you know what? That's the goal, really. Every time I take my wallet out, it makes like a sad violin sound.
For me, that's
been weird.
Wow, that's great. For me, I open it and a moth comes out. Just a little.
Eventually, you hear like the Nelson sound. But yeah, I'm gonna have a lot more stuff. It's just gonna be basically some training camp observations, a little more about Mahomes, and then maybe a little bit about what we really should or shouldn't be looking for in training camp.
Yes, I love that
because you can't freak out about interceptions in training camp any more so than you can freak out about touchdowns.
Have you considered making a Seth Kizer ASMR YouTube channel?
I totally know what that is.
Oh, man. We've Googled ASMR in this show many times.
Is that the thing where people do, like, soothing things?
In here, and then maybe it's like, here, Beards, turn my mic up. Turn my mic up, Beards. Beards hates this. A little.
Oh, good Lord. That's wildly unpleasant.
I know, Beards, I know. I know we're out of time. Seth is here from Minnesota. What do you want him to do?
I would like to apologize to Beards on behalf of everyone from Minnesota, really.
I'd like to apologize to you for eating $75 of barbecue at lunch.
It was $190, but who's counting?
Wow. Seth, thank you so much.
That number has changed about 12 times.
It has. Well, that's as with any good story.
It's also because at this point he's charging me interest, so he's letting me know what I have to pay him back.
Some well-dressed gentlemen are going to stop by your house tomorrow. Hey, buddy, you get Seth his money?
Hey, joke's on you, Seth. If they stop by my house, they're going to be at the wrong place because I'm in my parents' basement right now.
Because my dad will take care of it.
Thank you, Seth.
Yep, thanks, man.
You're listening to Almost Entirely Sports.
I've got to be so annoying.
With Joshua Briscoe.
I am such a disruptive person.
On ESPN Kansas City.
So nice having Seth in studio. He's gone now. I kid you not, he is literally right now at Joe's. In a coma. A food coma. Having him in here, though, today was just a treat. If you are listening exclusively over the airwaves, go to the ESPN Kansas City Facebook page. You can check out the whole thing. I'll podcast the whole thing, obviously. But you can check out the whole thing and see the whole conversation with me and Seth Kizer. It was just wonderful to have him in. It really is worth it if you're not already subscribed to The Athletic. You can see all of his stuff. All of his film reviews, of all the stuff that he talked about, you know, he really has made specific changes that I've seen that have been requested, basically, like, hey, you know, try this video format. Can you look at this thing? What about this topic? And the stuff that he's going to write about camp from today and tomorrow will be fantastic, I'm sure. So it's a treat to have him in. Obviously, I imagine at this point, if you are listening to this show, you're already following him on Twitter, at RealMNChiefsFan. But if you're not, I imagine that whole hour there had to sell you on him. And if you didn't get that whole hour, again, go to the Almost Entirely Sports podcast. We'll have it up there in about an hour. Or right now, it's all on the ESPN Kansas Facebook page. Thanks again to Seth Kaiser. We'll talk to you again tomorrow. Bye, Mom.
You're listening to Almost Entirely Sports with Joshua Briscoe on ESPN Kansas City.